I believe you said last week during our discussion, Dr. Norix, that the building program was the number one problem for the Board of Education of the Kalamazoo Public Schools, and you told us of some of the plans underway to meet the situation. Since this is the number one problem for our public school system, I'm glad to welcome you back to spend a quarter of an hour in discussing it with us. Would you tell us how you go about listing your building needs and how you determine the order in which these needs should be met?
We follow the principle, Dr. Dunbar, that an overall study of building needs should be made to determine the order in which the needs will very likely come. In studying the need for schoolhouse construction, you naturally must know what will happen within your various districts in your system, which way the population is growing, where are the vacant lots on which residential construction may take place, where are the so-called dead spaces in your system, where there will be no construction going on, and where will the business district likely be extended. You make such study of the birth rate as your census record will permit.
Well, now, what does that census record cover, Dr. Norris?
In our system, in the schools of Michigan, it covers all children from birth to 20 years of age. This information gives us a pretty good notion of what to expect for the next 4 or 5 years. But, of course, it doesn't help much beyond that. We make a study of the condition of all of our schools, studying their age, the present state of repair, whether they meet present requirements. Are they in a section where the population will continue to grow? When all this is done, you see, you're in a good position to list your building needs in the order of preferences. This does not mean that all the needs must be met within a year or two. It does mean, however, that the needs should be placed on a regular schedule and that the wise school system will work earnestly to see that the schedule is carried out.
All right. Now, will you tell us something about the schedule which has been worked out here in Kalamazoo?
We have listed our building needs in under three categories. First, those which are immediate. Second, those which must be met by 1952. And third, those which are highly desirable and necessary, but may have to be deferred until after the completion of those in Category 1 and 2.
All right, now let's start in with the immediate needs here in Kalamazoo. Will you list those?
Under our immediate needs, we list first the completion of the Southside Junior High School. You're aware that the Board of Education has selected the site for this school. It is between Howard and Maple Street on the north and south, and between Merrill and Stearns on the east and west. And the architects are now rushing the completion of plans so that the contract for this can be let early next spring. This unit should be ready by September 1950. The junior high children enrolled in Washington and Vine will then be transferred to this new unit. Since we have considerable space in the Washington and Vine junior high schools after the new school is occupied, this will relieve the pressure on all the elementary schools south of Michigan Avenue. In other words, by a slight change in boundary, we can prevent further building in all elementary schools on the south side.
Well, now, why has this junior high school been made the number one item in the building program, Dr. Norix?
That's an excellent question. This first step in our building program has been number one for several years, for the reason that the Washington and Vine junior highs are housed on sites with elementary schools, where the sites are altogether too small even for the elementary school, and the buildings are not adequate to provide a junior high program such as Kalamazoo children deserve. The weakest link, I think, in our entire Kalamazoo public school system has always been the junior high. This statement has no relation to the teachers nor to the administrators, for they have been and are as good as any in the system. I refer to enrollments which are too small to enable a school to offer a good departmentalized program. There should be enrolled from 800 to 1,200 students to provide maximum opportunities in exploratory courses, opportunities for choices in such organizations as band, orchestra, choral groups, art, clubs, and the like. In our small junior highs, many children have been given no opportunity to take such courses as algebra and Latin and others they wish.
In other words, we have too many junior high schools and they're too small. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, now, going on from the junior high school program, let's listen to the other needs that come under this number one category, that is, the needs that are immediate.
We have three or four other immediate needs, some of which have been met this summer, in part. During the summer, we vacated the last remaining classroom at the McKinley School on South Burdick by removing from it the school library, so there's no further opportunity for growth at McKinley. The public library branch was removed from the West Main School this summer in order to take the last remaining room as a classroom. The West Main enrollment will be much greater 3 or 4 years from now. That information we have from our census. Fifth, we have this summer, by changing district boundaries, transferred 40 or 50 children from the Brucker to the Wilson School, but this now fills the Wilson School. This will relieve Brucker for 2 or 3 years. You see, some 75 to 100 houses have been constructed in the Brucker district within the past 2 years. Now, our plan provides, as you note, for an extension to the schools at Brucker and West Main and the construction of a small school at Alamo, because we feel that after the peak is over, additional rooms will be needed to accommodate the enrollment. Changes were made at the Roosevelt School this year in order to accommodate the enrollment there. We're using that building to capacity, and the offerings to the junior high students have been curtailed this fall in order to keep the children in the building. Something will need to be done at Roosevelt within the next couple of years. These are listed as our most immediate problems because they all needed attention before September 1948.
All right, so much for our immediate needs. Now let's go on to the second category, that is, those which are next in line.
We have some other building needs which we classified a year ago as more remote because they will not have to be met before 1951 or 52. And you and I know that that isn't very remote. They include, first, the construction of an auditorium gymnasium, a kindergarten, a library, and 3 extra classrooms at West Main at a cost of approximately $100,000. Second, the construction of an addition of 4 classrooms, a heating unit, and other facilities at the Brucker School, perhaps cost about $100,000. Third, construction of a small elementary school of 7 classrooms with an auditorium, gymnasium, and a library and kindergarten at Alamo, costing $130,000. As I have said, we feel that these 3 additions must be made regardless of what else is done. Fourth, make a decision upon the junior high school program on the north side.
Well, now, what are the choices on that, Dr. Norix?
There are 2 choices as I see them, and as the Board of Education has discussed them. First, we might choose to select the present Lincoln School as the single Northside Junior High School, and this would cause us to build a new elementary school. Or the other choice is to construct 2 junior high schools in the northeast and northwest corner of the city and abandon the use of Lincoln as a junior high. You see, we have too many junior highs on the north now. There are 3 very small junior highs. Now, the difference in cost between these choices would be between the cost of a small elementary school, perhaps $500,000, and the cost of 2 junior high schools, difficult to estimate, but perhaps would be $3 to $4 million.
Well, now, if you do choose Lincoln as the 1 junior high school in the north side of the city, what would that do to your elementary school situation?
If Lincoln is chosen as the 1 junior high school, we could relieve the Roosevelt and Woodward building situations just as soon as the junior high children could be transferred to Lincoln. If the choice isn't made and the Northside Junior High School building program solved by around 1952, then we'll have to build additional space at Roosevelt and Woodward. Woodward is really growing now. The total cost of the projects of Group 2, which I've just listed, would perhaps range from a low of $800,000 if the Lincoln Elementary School is chosen, to perhaps $4 million if we decide to build 2 junior high schools.
Well, now, so much for the categories 1 and 2, that is, the immediate needs and those which come second. Now let's go on to the more remote needs, the ones which you think can be postponed beyond the year 1952.
Very much needed are some additions, as you indicate, most of them can wait and will have to wait until the needs in Group 1 and 2 have been met. First Central High School needs additional shop space. It needs a new gymnasium, which will accommodate the public. Perhaps many people didn't realize that we have always rented space for our basketball games. It needs an enlarged cafeteria. It needs a new music room for the band and orchestra. These are not only desirable, but highly needed. Second, there'll be a need in a very few years of an addition at the Southwest Nidge School. When this is constructed, we feel that the South Burdick School may well be closed and the children transferred to South Wessonage and Parkwood. This would reduce the cost of operation rather greatly. Third, the old section of Edison School should be removed and replaced with a modern building. The old section there comprises about two-thirds of the entire building. And fourth, Hillcrest needs a kindergarten and a combination auditorium-gymnasium. Then, when the peak of the enrollment is passed, the elementary school at any rate, we should remove the old Woodward Junior High, the old Washington Junior High, the wooden building at West Main, the South Burdick School, and the wooden structures at South Wessonage.
Well, now that's quite a program. Just how far have we gone towards meeting the problem of financing this construction, Dr. Norix?
Well, only so far as voting a tax for the Southside Junior High School, and it's questionable now as to whether we'll have enough money for that. We voted a 4-mill tax 2 years ago for a 5-year period, but since that time, the cost of construction has gone up perceptibly. This community should soon proceed to secure another $800,000 to $1 million to meet building needs, which will face us by 1951 or 52.
Well, now, are there any alternatives that are going to help us relieve the situation until we can meet the various problems which you have been mentioning here as a result of the birth rate?
Yes, if the money is not available in time, there are a few devices which may be used, and some of which you may expect that we shall use. It is advisable that no district should ever build to accommodate peak enrollments, in my judgment. To do so would be to overbuild for normal years. You may be sure that this district is not planning to overbuild. Here are some of the devices which may be used to prevent.
That is, these devices are to take care of the peak enrollment without overbuilding. Is that correct?
That's correct. First, when the peak of enrollment really hits the elementary schools, we may be forced to send the sixth grades, or some of them, to the junior highs. And at the same time, it will likely be necessary to send the ninth grades, or some of them, to Central High School. If this were done, we would no doubt be forced to refuse enrollment to the 500 non-resident senior high school pupils. When the peak of the enrollment passes, then, of course, the reverse would take place. Sixth grades would be returned to the elementary schools, and then when the peak of enrollment goes into Central High School, the ninth grades would be returned to the junior high school. A second device, some school systems are forced to run two shifts of students, one coming earlier in the morning and one later leaving later in the afternoon. A third device is to run half-day sessions for certain grades. A fourth device is to change your school schedule slightly to use more efficiently all available space in the building. That is, your special rooms, such as art, music, gymnasiums, auditoriums, and so on. Fifth would be to increase the class size. And the sixth, shift district boundaries.
Now, I don't suppose any of these devices are actually desirable, Dr. Norix.
No, I can't say that they are, Dr. Dunbar, and they wouldn't be recommended until it becomes necessary, and only to get us through a peak enrollment, to prevent overbuilding, and to prevent the construction of rooms which might later become quite necessary.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Norix, for bringing this view of a system-wide, long-range program of school construction, which it seems to me would eventually give the city of Kalamazoo adequate housing for all its children, and it would appear that it could be done with an eye to maximum efficiency and minimum cost. We bring you now the latest news bulletins from the Associated Press.